to turn and play. If you need to make a prayer request for somebody that you would like to have prayed for, you can do that also. And if you've done some salty service, that means some work for people outside of these four walls. If you've done some salty service, we need to turn those into the envelope. Just put one in there if you've done something. We would appreciate that. It is great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of your worship service. Let me see if there are any other announcements. This is a meeting. This is a week of meetings. This is a week of meetings. We have directors and committee chairpersons this afternoon at 6 and the executive committee at 6:30. And then on Tuesday, we have additional meetings at 6:30. We have communications committee meeting at 7 o'clock and SPRC meeting, and then the youth and the choir on Wednesdays, and the other announcements you see printed in there. And Dawn Hernandez is going to make an announcement, so I want her to tell us what she has for us today. All right. Thank you very much, Don. The October the 11th is the date. 9 o'clock is the time, and the place is at the dog kennel track. Yeah, the dog track. That's where it is. That's where it is. We have a few weeks until then, so you've got plenty of time to decide if you want to walk, and plenty of time to get sponsors who, if you want to walk, you can get people who pledge and raise money that way for the fight cancer. Anything else, Don? Okay. Ready? Oh. Oh, yay. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any other announcements for the good cause this morning? All right. Kevin Ross is giving his Eagle badge for scouting. Yay. Yay, very good. Thank you for that. Yes, ma'am. And who's about to? Brother's about to. All right. So we are excited about that. That's a first. Yeah. That's a first. Very good. Well, let's go to God in prayer with our heads as we go to God. We thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, God, for being in your presence. And we pray, oh God, that your spirit moves us during this hour, that you inspire us to be who you would have us be in this time and this place. We are called to be Calvary. We are called to be that mountain, that hill that looks down upon the earth and says, come to me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give rest. So come to the table of the Lord, to the house of the Lord. Worship God in fitness and in truth today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now I want to invite the children to come forth and be all together. Jesus says something in our church passage today, which I think is pretty interesting. He says that it's not what you put into your mouth that is bad, but sometimes what comes out of your mouth. Now, what kind of thing come out of your mouth? What does your mouth do? Let me ask that question first. Talk a big one. Anything else that we do? We eat, right? We do. Anything else we do with our mouth? Those are the two big things. Burp, okay. Yeah. We do all the things. What? We eat vegetables. Oh, my goodness. So I suppose that means you don't want any candy today. No. You do want candy today. Yeah. We'll work some in just a minute. But we're going to talk about the things that come out of our mouths first. Our tongues. But let me tell you what Jesus was talking about. He said, people don't come out of our mouth. We speak, talk. Because sometimes bad things come out of our mouth. What things do you think he's talking about? He says that. What kind of bad things come out of our mouth? The words, okay? Words, okay? But more than just that, isn't it? Mean words, we put down people or we call people names. Those are bad things which come out of our mouth. When we gossip or tell tales on people, that's a bad thing that comes out of our mouth. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to anoint your mouth. And yes, I'm going to anoint your mouth. And we're going to say, we're going to put a little bit of oil on your lips. And we're going to say that may God, what is the word I was going to say? Just a minute. Yeah, thank you. May the words of my mouth be acceptable. Oh, God. Can you do that? The words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. So let me put this a little tiny bit on your lips. There you go, just like that. Can I anoint your mouth? So may the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, oh, God. Just a little tiny bit of oil. May the words of my mouth. May the word be acceptable in your sight. Okay, here you go. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Your turn. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. So, can I anoint any mouth? Let's see. All right. All right, here we go. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Lloyd.
All of us. We all need to have our mouths anointed. We all need to think about what comes out of our mouths sometimes. And so these children, you know what? They look to you and I. They look to us. when they are looking for words that are appropriate to say, we'll follow the leader of their parents and adults. And so, boys and girls, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We do pray, God, that you will guide and direct these children as they grow in your grace and truth, and may your mercy rest upon them and their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Candy. Candy. You're welcome.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. If you'd stand and turn to page 154 hymnals, we'll sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It worked.
Of faith on page 888 in your hymnals. The affirmation from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, and Colossians 1, 15 through 20. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to women, and then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses.
We believe Jesus Christ,
the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom fullness of God was pleased to dwell, by the power of the Spirit, Christ is the head of the body, church, by the blood of Christ, reconciled all things to God. Amen.
Please come forward for our tithes and offerings. Pray. Gracious and merciful God, we use all good gifts. We praise your name for every good gift comes from you. We pray for the gift today. With our hearts, return to you a portion of what you have given to us. And all these things we ask your Son's name and presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
the Lord hath made. Lord, great God Almighty, that will never fail. I can't help but tell what He's done for me. How He lifted my soul and gave me victory. Set my footsteps walking by, gave me eyes to see the light. This is the day that the Lord.
I've been to worship. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. And now we come to that time of our service where we ask God to intervene on our behalf or others, places in the world, the situation in life, or the name of somebody in particular that needs God's special healing today, that we lay at His feet. But before we do so, let me just invite you to this time of quiet. And then when you feel led, lift up your prayers to God. hear our prayers. Jesus, our Savior, lead us today in the ways of your love. Guide us to live lives that are a blessing to those around us instead of a hindrance. Help us, O God, to include rather than exclude, to break down walls rather than build up, and to welcome instead of turn away. Help us today to live into the ways that you taught us and to learn from our mistakes. In your name and in your words, we pray as you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
There's going to be a slight change. If you end and turn to page 528 in your hymnals, we'll sing Nearer, My God, to Thee.
first part of the scripture, verses 10 through 20, is the scripture passage where Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and they have accused him and his disciples of heresy because they didn't wash their hands before they eat. And that's where he tells them it's not what goes in a mouth that defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth. And the second part of this scripture passage is the one where Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman who wants her daughter to be healed. And we hear Jesus' words in our 20th century mind, 21st century mind, a little bit differently from what they would have heard it then. So hear the words of Scripture this morning from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard you say what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, the first part of chapter 15, Jesus and the disciples have been challenged by the Pharisees for not following traditional purity codes. And I have to tell you, this is not about hygiene. The admonition concerning the washing of the hands is not about that, even though that's what we know, of course, the role of germs and the role of clean hands. So it was about tradition, and Jesus flaunts the tradition right in front of the Pharisees. And so he's finding it rather difficult to be in the area, and so he leaves. He leaves the area of Galilee for the Gentile area of Tyre and Sidon. This change in location from Galilee to Tyre and Sidon has everything to do with the increasing conflict and pressure from within his own people and within his own land. It's too hot to stay, so he takes powder and leaves. But then a Canaanite woman approaches Jesus, and I have to ask you, do you remember who the Canaanites are? Do you remember who the Canaanites are? They were the natives who were displaced when Israel took over the land, and you can remember, if you think back to some of your Old Testament, the battles for the land of Canaan throughout the stories of the Old Testament, that there were people in the land when Israel came, called the Canaanites. And so despite this long history of animosity between the Canaanites and the people of Judah, because the Canaanites were the conquered people, and the people of Judah were the conquerors, this woman, nevertheless, a Canaanite woman, seeks out Jesus' help for her demon-possessed daughter. This is the same scene over and over again in Jesus' ministry where his fame as a healer precedes him and crowds bring their sick, their ill, and to this holy man who they believe can heal their friends. Only in this situation, the crowd is a woman and the town is Gentile. We expect Jesus to respond with compassion for the woman in her situation. But that's not exactly what we get on first reading. Jesus never quite does what we expect him to do. Jesus is like a wild animal. He's untamable. Just when we think we got him figured out, he throws us a curve. And this is a pretty big curve. It's a boomerang that reverses the direction of everything we think we know about Jesus. Or so it seems from our perspective. A woman approaches Jesus with a sick child. Scripture says she's possessed by a demon. And he ignores the woman. You see that picture in the front of your bulletin there? This is a depiction of the Canaanite woman. And the picture is focused on her reaching out to Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? He's walking by. He's walking by. He ignores her. He doesn't look at her or acknowledge her. He keeps on walking. And now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. When someone calls out to Jesus, we believe Jesus answers, but he was not going to. He keeps on going. Maybe he didn't hear her. The disciples, however, definitely hear her, and they are not shocked by Jesus' behavior. They're more shocked by what the woman is doing. And so they say, Jesus, send her away. He turns and speaks to the woman, and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that mean? What do you think that means? The book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, is presented the mission of the church, beginning with Jesus in the center, is like a pebble thrown into the water that has circles of concentric circles going outward from the pebble from where it was tossed, creating ever-widening circles. In Matthew, the time will come when that mission includes the whole world, but not yet. She's jumping the gun. So not until the final resurrection appearance, if you remember, where Jesus commissions his disciples to go make disciples of all nations, do we hear of the mission to the Gentiles. Everything prior to that was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's his statement. So the shock came to the disciples when he stopped to speak with her. To the disciples, she deserved nothing more than a firm dismissal. But he stops and says something to her. But what he says is disturbing to us. We've had all these many years, 2,000 years worth of experience of Jesus, and we know what to expect from him. We think we know what Jesus will say and what Jesus will do. Everyone knows who Jesus is. Even an atheist would see Jesus in exactly the same way that we do, only the atheist doesn't believe and we believe. But everyone expects Jesus to react a certain way to this woman. And some have called what Jesus says next an ethnic slur. What he says to her is, "It is not fair to take the children's," that is Israel's, "food and throw it to the dogs." What has he just said? Meaning the dogs, meaning this woman. And that's where we just can't believe that something like that might come out of Jesus' mouth. And we are offended. We begin to feel deeply shocked. Because it sounds like to us that Jesus has just called her a name. But the shock that we feel on hearing this keeps us from hearing how it might have been interpreted and heard in the first century. The clue is to ask yourself the question, what is the children's food? What is the children's food? And then we can get the rest of the parable. The children's food and the dog's crumbs refer to God's saving activity in the world. This is what we're supposed to hear. Jesus is just telling the woman to wait, that the time had not yet come for the mission to the Gentiles. You must wait, Jesus is saying. He says, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And waiting does not seem like too much to ask, but she's a mother with a sick child. And I believe the story of this woman's interaction with Jesus is included in the scripture because of what she does next. She doesn't meekly go away. She doesn't quiet down. And she doesn't become angry or defensive either, as most of us probably would. She is so desperate for an answer or for help for her child that she'll do anything. And she bows before him and she simply says to him, "Lord, save me." These are the same words that Peter uttered when he stepped out of the boat and began to fear to sink. "Lord, save me," she says. She says, "I don't want to wait just because I'm Gentile. For anyone who believes, the crumbs provide enough nourishment." And her response is truly astonishing. First, that she would respond at all, but mostly because of what she means by her response to Jesus. What she is trying to say is that, "I know you, Jesus. I know that you are Lord, even over the Gentiles, and I recognize your coming kingdom. Me, a woman and an outsider, who should not know one end of salvation from the other. I believe in who you are, and I need what you're offering. You, and only you, can make my daughter well." And for all who live on the margins of society, she's a hero. She's a Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat on the bus. She is the Samaritan from whom you would not expect anything good to come. She is the pebble from outside the accepted circle, and to whom Jesus says, "Great is your faith." She is a beacon of hope for you and me. And for all those who know that Christ died for everyone, she is a corrective to our false pride and self-righteousness. She is a tonic for our assumptions. When we become too rigid or doctrinaire, She reminds us that just because we're here, we do not have a corner on the market of salvation. We do not own a patent on God's wild, untamable grace. God's grace goes to people and places we might consider, like the disciples considered her, an outsider, not someone worth listening to, someone to be asked to be turned away. And yet Jesus shows her mercy and grace. The greatest faith, Jesus says, can come from the unlikeliest source. 50 years ago, it was unlikely that a woman would be ordained in the Methodist Church. 25 years ago, it was unlikely that I would be your pastor. But nowadays, if you didn't know it, seminary enrollment is 50% women. Every church, you know, it used to be every church that I went to had never had a woman pastor before. This is your first. But it won't be your last. Because 50-50 now, those going through seminary are women. What once seemed unthinkable now is turning into something commonplace. To all the unlikely women and men who ever knelt at Jesus' feet to say, "Lord, save me," he says to us, "Great is your faith." Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and look through the screen behind me. We'll sing Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. There's no God like Jehovah.
God's mercy and grace and peace will surround us and give us new life. Here and now, we are God's children.
Amen.
May the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.